Good evening, everybody. You're listening to the Ladies Bible Study here on the Eagle Radio Network. We've got Robin. Hi, Robin.
Hello, Rick.
And we've got Megan. Hi, Megan.
Hi, Rick.
And Karen. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Rick.
And so, I'm going to let you girls go ahead and get started. I should say ladies, because you're not girls. You're girls, but I mean, you're, you know, more mature girls, so that would be ladies. Is that better? Should I just be quiet now and just
I'm
let
fine.
You guys get started?
Yeah, probably, Rick. Thanks for trying, though,
if you say so.
The whole she get the deeper. All right, so I'll let you guys get going, and I will. I will be here. Yeah, I know. Pronoun challenge, gender challenge over here. I'll let you guys get going, and you guys can figure things out from here. Have a great service.
Thanks, Rick. Well, that's a good start to have a little bit of humor, right?
Yes.
And everybody's had good days?
Yeah. Not bad. Getting better now.
There you go.
So it's a good talk.
What was that? Yeah, you went out with Melanie and did a homeschool day in Montpelier.
Yes, we did. We went to see the State House and had a little tour with a lady who obviously does such things, and got to listen in on a little Senate thing, which was interesting, about changing all the road signs in the entire country so that they have 4-inch lettering, which means the signs are like a foot wide, I mean high. So that was interesting. We actually saw the sign walking around. It said Covered Bridge Road, and it was taller than me. So not that I'm tall, but I mean for a road sign, that was quite the sight.
Is that to help elderly citizens stay on the road?
I don't know. Apparently they spent a bunch of money doing a survey to see if people could see road signs better, all in caps or when just the first letters capitalized. And after $600 million, they determined that there was no difference, but we still now have to have every single road sign in the entire country 4-inch letter high, you know. So that was an interesting little thing that the town of Stowe brought forward. Much aside.
Yes. Well, I'm glad that we are all gathered back together this evening. And we are at the end of taking a look at Hebrews chapter 11 tonight. And I don't know about you two, but I know for me, after Bible studies, and after looking at people, which, you know, we've been doing people over the last couple of years a lot. You know, we've looked at women in particular and things like that. And we've been doing that in this Bible study. And when I, you know, you get a little more familiar with them when you take a look at them like that. And then they hang out with you and you think about them a lot. And their testimony. And I'm always blessed after going through somebody, as you all know, kind of like with me and Esther and then me and Abraham and Sarah. And now it's like me and David. But David and Daniel, actually, because, of course, we're going to take a look at Daniel a little bit tonight. To me, I saw similarities in them, and it's a good thing to know and to look at and to, follow after these people's examples, because they were unto salvation and unto the things that Paul writes here. And I'm going to let Karen read, starting with verse 32, which we actually have already gone through, but just as a starting point. And these people who exercised faith and believed God accomplished mighty things. And God was lifted up, glorified, manifested, and it's, you know, I mean, if it's what we need to do, because few people in our world have had the opportunity to know that there is a living God. And these people's testimony in their time made him manifest so that those that others could see and know. So Karen, verse 32 of Hebrews 11, please, if you'd start there.
And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Keep
you
going.
You can go ahead and read down, yeah.
Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in the mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect.
You know, that end statement there is an invitation to all who would believe to be made perfect. Amen? That they without us should not be made perfect. That means that with us, they should be made perfect. And when you look at the testimony of what people of faith did, was 30 through on down. You know, that's the testimony that follows faith. Megan or Karen, did one of you want to say something there? So we've kind of chatted a little bit together through email and other ways about these things, and we're not going to necessarily hit each one separately. And these things really describe what those who we've read about thus far did. So some of it we don't really need to reiterate. For instance, subdued kingdoms. Well, Joshua led the people of Israel in and accomplished just that in the Promised Land. We know David did so also. Well, Samuel did too. Wrought righteousness. That is a testimony that I think is an absolute for all who walk in obedience to the Lord, because what the Lord does and what the Lord is just that, righteousness. They obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire. We'll just look at these few here because we know that the most obvious testimony of stopping the mouths of lions is Daniel. And we know the testimony of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who quenched the violence of fire. And Karen had an interesting thought on stopping the mouths of lions that she shared with Megan and I. Karen, did you want to share that?
Well, I just was noticing that we had recently, when we talked about David and when we talked about Samson, that both of them killed lions with their bare hands. And it was mentioned and talked about previously. So that there were two more instances that we have gone over recently that have stopped the mouths of lions. Although, you know, in Daniel, that's a big one too. So,
yeah, and you know, I had never really thought of David or Samson as having fulfilled that. Till you brought it up, I thought that was a good point. But I thought in taking a look at Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and actually Jeremiah and Mordecai, that we could go back into the Old Testament and take a look at the Word of God that was at work at that time. Because, of course, we know that those people, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel, Mordecai, Esther, they were those who were taken into captivity and when Israel was being judged. And so if we go to 2 Chronicles chapter 36, and as we also know, the tendency or most of the kings did evil in the sight of the Lord. There were a few who served the Lord, but the general mindset of the kings was to forget God. And so in 2 Chronicles 36, and Karen, if you'd like to read, starting with verse 11.
Zedekiah was 1 and 20 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God, but he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, and despised his words, and misused his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. Therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon young man or maiden, old man, or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand. And all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king, and of his princes, all these he brought to Babylon. And they burnt the house of God, and brake down the wall of Jerusalem, and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire, and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath, to fulfill 70 years. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord God of heaven given me, and he hath charged me to build him an house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? The Lord his God be with him, and let him go up.
So that is the context of the time frame and the situation that those servants of the Lord found themselves. And if you then go to, Karen, Jeremiah 24. And while she turns to Jeremiah 24, one of the things in Hebrews here where it says, starting verse 35, it goes, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And when you look there in Second Chronicles and you see that the Lord sent messengers, it says in verse 15, rising up betimes and sending because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But these were those who who Paul is speaking about in Hebrews 11, because it says in 16, but they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. It reminds me, too, of when the Lord spoke about the husbandman who sent his servants to you know, and I'd have to go back. I'm going to stop because I know I'm going to get that story wrong. But it's the one where when he finally sent his son and they said, if we kill him, then we'll have the inheritance. It's that same kind of evil, hard-hearted rebellion. It is the same thing. But Karen, chapter 24 of Jeremiah speaks of what we just read in Second Chronicles. So if you would read that, I would appreciate it.
All right. The Lord shewed me, and behold, two baskets of figs were set before the temple of the Lord, after that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the princes of Judah, with the carpenters and smiths from Jerusalem, and had brought them to Babylon. One basket had very good figs, even like the figs that are first ripe, and the other basket had very naughty figs, which could not be eaten, they were so bad. Then said the Lord unto me, what seest thou, Jeremiah? And I said, figs, the good figs, very good, and the evil, very evil, that cannot be eaten, they are so evil. Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans for their good. For I will set mine eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up. And I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. For they shall return unto me with their whole heart. And as the evil figs, which cannot be eaten, they are so evil, surely thus saith the Lord, so will I give Zedekiah, the king of Judah, and his princes, and the residue of Jerusalem, that remain in this land, and them that dwell in the land of Egypt, and I will deliver them to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth for their hurt, to be a reproach and a proverb, a taunt and a curse, in all places whither I shall drive them. And I will send the sword, the famine, and the pestilence among them, till they be consumed from off the land that I gave unto them and to their fathers.
You know, when I read this, and it's clear that those who were carried away into Babylon were carried away and preserved. But the testimony of God, first of all, the promise that he will bring them back to that land. And we know from 2 Chronicles, it was a period of 70 years while the land had the Sabbath. And he says, and I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up, and I will give them an heart to know me. Isn't that beautiful? That I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. For they shall return unto me with their whole heart. And when you look at the testimony of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and we'll look at them there in Daniel, when you look at the testimony of Mordecai, who we know was one of those who got to go back to Jerusalem to build it, and you can see him, I think, right there in the beginning of Ezra, where he is named among those who went back at the call of Cyrus to do so, that these people are fulfill this word of the Lord as spoken by Jeremiah in verse 7. They were people who had a heart to know God, that he is the Lord, and they were his people, and he was their God, and they did return unto him with their whole hearts. And each one of them did so not knowing whether, as we see in Hebrews, whether the testimony would be that they stopped the mouths of lions or quenched the violence of fire. But we know that that was their testimony. And we should then go ahead and take a look at Daniel. Mordecai, of course, is found in Esther. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego turn up in chapter 2. And it was in chapter 3, though, that they are thrown into the fiery furnace. And interestingly, last night, Steve spoke about them. And I know most of us listen either live or at a later date to the Tuesday night Bible studies. But at this point, Nebuchadnezzar actually was angry that these people did not bow down at the image that he put up and worship it. And if you wanted to read starting there in chapter 3, starting at verse 13, you can read the story there of these men and their stance for the Lord. And one other thing, these were people who were people of position because of the fact that they had found favor. They were faithful servants to Nebuchadnezzar. They did all that they were supposed to do, but they would not bow down and call any other thing God other than the Lord God. And it was this that got them into trouble, not disobedience, not poor service. They were a people that were under chastisement and did not rebel against it. They submitted to it. So, Karen, would you read there and just read the story of these three gentlemen?
Starting at 13?
Yes, please. Okay. Daniel 3:13.
Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spake, and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their heads singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon.
Well, you see there, to me, a couple things, and you all may see other things too. You see the fulfillment of the word of Jeremiah, the word of the Lord that Jeremiah spoke in Jeremiah 24. When I look at that verse 24, and well, just this whole chapter, you see that they were saved by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Jesus was their God, and he was in that fiery furnace confirming the hope that they had in him. And you know that they were lifted up, they were honored, they were servants, as Nebuchadnezzar said. They were Nebuchadnezzar's servants in every way, except for they would not worship any other god but the living God. And their actions brought a mighty testimony that even Nebuchadnezzar proclaimed. And he was the king over all the earth. You know, he was a king of that had a huge kingdom. And here is the king of that kingdom proclaiming the one true God as a result. And if you notice in the beginning, if you stop and think about it, you got to look at what these men did, because Nebuchadnezzar was angry. He was so angry that he wasn't even being ruled by intelligence. I mean, he has the furnace that is made hotter than normal by seven times, to the point that mighty men were consumed in it. Men who were on, you know, that served Nebuchadnezzar, some of his strong men. It says, and he commanded the most mighty men. And he doesn't even blink an eye, he's so mad. And these men stand there, notwithstanding, with the fiery furnace as their home. And not knowing the Lord was well able to deliver them, but not knowing what would happen. And the end of that chapter is the proclamation of Nebuchadnezzar as to the their God being like no other God. Karen and Megan?
Well, that is the ultimate in trusting the Lord, I would say. Man, oh man, just and plus standing in his word and not doing, no matter what came against them, they didn't care. They were going to do what their God wanted them to do. And they knew that the Lord would come through for them. And that was complete faith.
And they had been exercising it. You know how they exercised it? One of the ways, anyways, is by submitting to the chastening of the Lord in their service to Nebuchadnezzar. And we know in the beginning there where Daniel asked the eunuch, I think, who was over them, if they could eat just pulse and not the food from the king's table. And yet, and the gentleman was concerned that they would look weak and he would get in trouble. And Daniel was willing to submit and eat the food at the king's table, but asked that he'd give them 10 days to prove that they didn't have to be strong. And of course, they were even healthier than the others who ate the food of the king's table. And from the beginning, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood, and the Lord was with them. But that was an exercise in faith. You know, these are a people that stood, and then they stood again. And when it came to this, they stood again, and the Lord was there. And so we will be with any and all, right?
It reminds me of back when we looked at Gideon, too. You know, each time that he trusted the Lord, he was stronger and stronger as he went along.
Amen.
And we see that with Daniel, too.
You know who else we saw it with in the past was Esther.
Yeah.
I like the testimony of Esther, which maybe we could touch on, but if not, there is a book and it's available for people to read in the Old Testament called Esther. So then we move into chapter 6 and Daniel. Now, Daniel, this is the fiery furnace, I mean the lion's den chapter, but there were a couple things about Daniel that I noticed. One thing that really stuck out to me with David was that he would go and talk to the Lord. If you remember when Nathan came and gave him the beautiful prophecy that God was establishing his kingdom, he went and sat down and talked to the Lord. And in talking with Steve last week, he reminded me of something in Daniel, about David, and that was that David encouraged himself in the Lord. And I believe that you see Daniel with that same habit, because you see when he hears of the proclamation that has gone out by actually by deceit, by those who were envious of Daniel and had the king sign a decree without thinking of the consequences, that Daniel's response was to go and kneel before the Lord and give thanks and pray, even as he did aforetime. And, you know, when I think about Daniel that way, or I think about David that way, and then you think about those who fell by the wayside, pretty certain that you can be safe in saying that they did not do this, that they did not encourage themselves in the Lord, that they did not cast all their cares upon the Lord, that they did not pray and lift things up to the Lord with thanksgiving. The very thing you see in the Psalms where David, or the psalmist, being as he didn't write all the Psalms, would come to the Lord, and the beginning of it was a trouble. You know, there was trouble oftentimes in the beginning of a psalm, and the end was always the victory. The end was always the praise, because they knew and they remembered and they were encouraged and they were strengthened. You know, that's how you get encouraged. But we must do so if we want to stand and be faithful. It is an aspect of that. And if we don't do that, then we are not doing that which will strengthen, encourage, and you know, the exercising of faith, which will make us ready to stand and to be instant in season and out of season, and not to be afraid with any amazement and the various things. So, Karen, if you'd like to just read through here. I guess just read chapter 6 for us. It's the story, and we can hear the word of the Lord.
Okay. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king, and said thus unto him, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute, and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree, and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day, and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled, and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, "The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king, and said unto the king, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel, and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, forasmuch as before him innocency was found in me. And also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, Peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian.
You know, you look at Darius's question in verse 20. O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? And you know what? Because God is able, and because Daniel believed, Darius found out that the answer was yes. And his proclamation to the glory of the God of Daniel was spoken aloud, and his understanding and wisdom as to these people that sought to kill Daniel was right, and it was true. What did they say in the beginning? They came to him with flattering words. In verse 6, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. I mean, these people could care less about their king. Daniel, on the other hand, served the king as his lord. And the king understood that. He understood that. He just hadn't caught on then as to what he was doing. And, you know, he was grieved. And what does it say there? He sought in verse 14, and he labored to deliver Daniel from being thrown into the lion's den. And then he prayed and he fasted and he came as early as he could to come and find out if Daniel's God was able. And God was glorified. And Daniel was honored. But you never see Daniel railing against anybody or anything. He was a servant of the Most High God. And you know, his he was proved true. His actions were, his service was, let me back up. If we serve the living God, and if we serve him faithfully, you know what? We're actually doing the right thing. And in the day that we're called to an account like Daniel was, we'll be proven to have been doing the right thing. You know, when I look and I read in 2 Chronicles, and I believe in that last chapter, three times it is stated that it is to fulfill the word of the Lord at Jeremiah's mouth. You know, Jeremiah was a man that brought the word perfectly. God told him what to say, and he said it. Jeremiah was one of the men that, if you look at Hebrews 11, and they were thrown into prison and all, I mean, that man was despitefully used. He was thrown into the deepest, dankest, darkest parts of the prison. They wanted to kill him. They knew that he was a man of God. They knew that he brought the word of God, and yet they constantly rebelled and sought to kill him, but he was preserved. And in the beginning, if you read in Jeremiah, God promises him that. But I'll bet you anything, Jeremiah at that point didn't foresee what it was going to look like. I mean, that's, and yet his faithfulness not only brought the word of God to the people, and the people that we just read about, and the people that went back and rebuilt Jerusalem, but also it obligated God to keep his word, because Jeremiah believed God. And you see that. You see Abraham believed God, and we know that it was accounted unto him for righteousness, but it made God have no out from performing the word that Abraham had received from him. You see that with David. It is the relationship God has with a person of faith, and his holding himself to his words for that person's sake is beautiful. It is a beautiful and trustworthy thing.
That's a really good point about them not seeing the end of things, too, you know, that their relationship with God was really, really close, because they just trusted him so much that they didn't care what was going to be happening. They just went and did it because they knew it was the right thing.
Well, you know, something Davey says a lot is, you know, God is, he's just. And, you know, his ways are righteous. And so these people, a part of trust is not just the act of, you know, doing what he says, you know, having no other choice and blah, blah, blah. But actually that you have an understanding that his ways are good. And so you willingly entrust yourselves into the loving hands of God. And, I mean, we walk in a world, even as Abraham did, and you remember his testimony to Abimelech when Abimelech said, "Why did you do this to me?" where Sarah had gone into Abimelech's household. And Abraham said, because I didn't, you know, he was in an evil land, and he didn't perceive that anybody there feared God. He said, he did not see that there was any fear of God in the land. I know I didn't say that perfectly, but we walk in that same world, and it's even gotten worse. And the very people that did evil to those who came and brought the word of the Lord in 2 Chronicles, because God was beseeching the people to turn to him that he might repent of the evil he had planned for them. You know, I mean, that's what we walk in. And so there are repercussions. I mean, we're not like It's not like there's no that the evil of this world never touches God's people or never does evil unto them, but God is in the midst of it all. So those people in Hebrews 11 who were tortured and all, I mean, I don't know what to say about that. Praise the Lord that they remained faithful unto the end. I can say, I mean, look at Stephen. We know that he was stoned. And in the midst of being stoned, he prayed for the stoners of him. You know, that God will be with us in every way, no matter what comes down. And you saw that with Stephen. I mean, his face was like the face of an angel, and it so angered the, I think it was the priests and the Pharisees, but those who were heading up the stoning of him, that they gnashed on him with their teeth. But they saw it, and they knew it. But God was with him. I mean, in a way, he had a beautiful end. But he was stoned to death.
Can I say a couple of things?
Please.
When you were talking about David and Psalms, Psalm 84 talks about going from strength to strength, which is what our walk of faith is meant to be. So, you know, you start, that is our walk ought to be going from strength to strength in the faith. And, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said to Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 3:17, you know, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image. So, you know, the Lord is able to deliver us out of the fiery furnace and out of your hand. They're not necessarily the same thing. But even if he doesn't, we won't bow down. And that's, you know, you see something that you brought up there in Hebrews 11. You know, there were some that were stoned, some that were sawn asunder, some that had cruel mockings and scourgings. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could have fallen under this cruel mockings and scourgings, but they didn't. And, you know, as you pointed out, the people who are mentioned here in Hebrews 11 who did go through that and died, they died in faith. These men, their life was a testimony and their deliverance was a testimony. And where we need to stand is, whether the Lord delivers me or whether he doesn't, he is true. He, his word is trustworthy, and I'm going to believe him, no matter what I see in front of me or what you're threatening me with or, you know, what have you. Because not everybody in Hebrews 11 had a happy, joy looking end. But as we read in Hebrews 11, they looked for a kingdom. Let me find it. They desired a better country that is in heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God.
Well said.
Amen. You know, Megan, when you were talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, what you can see in their testimony is they did die. They died to themselves.
Yes.
The fact that their life was preserved is a secondary thing. And you really see that in absolutely every faithful servant of God is they died to themselves and lived unto God. And we know that times are waxing worse and worse. And there's two things, if we will set ourselves to do it. One is we can be as these people. And by so doing, we can allow the Lord to manifest himself. And both of those are important. And, you know, this life is fleeting. but there's a lot that hangs on it. We have just a few minutes, so I thought we could look at the testimony of Mordecai, his words to Esther, which I think kind of show his faith and his knowledge. I believe Mordecai knew that the Jews would go back and rebuild Israel. Certainly he was one of them. He knew that the Lord would preserve his people. That I do know. And you read this in chapter 4 of Esther. And let me see exactly where. Let's see. So Esther is unaware of the proclamation that has gone out that where all the Jews are going to be able to be killed. And she's told that Mordecai is, I believe, fasting and with sackcloth and ashes, and she sends out clothes and different things. And Mordecai chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, Karen, are you in Esther there where you could read this real quick? Because we have just
yep.
Okay. Yep. You see the testimony of Mordecai's faith and his counsel to somebody he loved as his own daughter. So if you'd read those couple verses there.
Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?"
You can finish that chapter.
Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer, "Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him.
And we know the end of that was the preservation of the Jews and the destruction of Haman, who, like those who came against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, had come against Mordecai. And you see what faith can wrought and the call of faith upon us all. So do either have you any... like to finish this up? We have another minute or two before the 8 o'clock hour hits us.
Well, one little comment on Haman and the fellows who came against Daniel is that their judgment came and it was clear. But as we've talked Psalm 73, you know, many times, the thing is, judgment comes to all of us, and some, you know, the wicked may look like they're prospering, but when they die, they get their judgment. And if we live faithfully, we get our reward. So, you know, we shouldn't be, dismayed or what have you, as we see people who seem to not get the recompense for their evil that they put forward. Because it will come. It just might be after they die.
Yes, and this is where we have to choose to believe God.
Amen. Davy wrote.
Go ahead, you may read it.
"Think about this. If she," meaning Esther, "had not done what God gave her to do, then the whole of Israel would have been lost." That is true.
So, Karen, did you have anything?
Commenting on Davy's comment, that means that if we, you know, hear things and we don't do them, then things just don't go the way they're supposed to, you know. We need to hear and also do what the Lord has us to do.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, because one thing I'd been thinking about with the testimony of Jeremiah, who kept the word of God perfectly, Samuel, who kept the word of God perfectly, Paul, who kept the word of God perfectly. You know what? These people were not guilty of the blood of anyone because of that. And as Davy said in the chat, had she not kept what the Lord had given her to do, she would have been guilty of the blood of the Israelites. You know what I mean?
Yep, it's a sobering thing to think about.
Yes. So we're past the 8 o'clock hour. And so God bless everybody. And may we be a people whose hearts truly believe in the living God and serve him and are his people.
Amen.
So that he might be our God.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless everyone.
God bless.
Good night.